City of Warwick received $873,550.
$873,550. Okay. You said $875.
I'm sorry. $873,550.
Okay.
Of that, $146,804 went to public services. The just doing the math in my head. There was no money for public facilities. Housing programs rewarded $33,574. Neighborhood improvements were awarded to the Aponog Association, and we did some affordable housing with the remaining funds. That's it.
Thank you.
So $873,500 of that $303,000 went to, that's just salaries, right? You said $146,000 for public services, some $33,000 for housing, and how much again, please, went to Aponog Association? I appreciate it. Thank you.
$100,000 to Aponog. There was also $55,000 went to Cornerstone for public facility, along with $28,000 for Boys and Girls Club for public facilities.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the public? If not, we'll move on to water. Yes, Dan. And I would remind members of the public, you're an enterprise fund, so you send out water bills and you pay your water bills from your proceeds, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Again, Dan O'Rourke, Water Division, DPW Water Division. This budget reflects an increase of approximately $178,000 over last year's approved budget. However, since we are an enterprise fund, the revenues have to equate to, have to exceed expenses. And in the case this year, we're actually down in terms of revenue, the projection for this year. Again, it's difficult to project in terms of precipitation and how people are going to utilize water. But in conjunction with that, too, your expenses are less. So it's somewhat of a wash, no pun intended. Next year, we're projecting a proposed budget of $12,539,950, which would be about an $827,000 increase over the projection for this year, namely due to a small projected increase in in the consumption rate for water. To put it in brass tacks and bring it down to the street level, for the average person who uses about 10,000 cubic feet, it amounts to about $8.50 a year. So probably two large Dunkin' Donuts coffees in that case.
And Dan, I know you come before us quarterly to give us an update on the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Issues that you're dealing with, just so that people understand how old pipes are and that you also have to budget money to replace the infrastructure. And I know every time I hear of a water main leak or something, I get very nervous.
In terms of this budget here, we're looking to increase the funding for infrastructure replacement and capital improvements to the tune of almost $1 million. And that's on a cash basis, but I can state emphatically that I've mentioned it before that we really need to, I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but we really need to go out for future bonding, for revenue bonds, so we can do more long-term planning, more long-term replacement, if you will, to take advantage of the economies of scale with the sewer authority and state projects and so forth. We haven't had a bond issue since the mid-90s, if you will. But that's something we'll have to discuss with the administration. And I believe part of this, these increases over a five-year period, we're in the third year of a five-year plan, will help defer possibly any cost for principal and interest payments, where it would be more affordable. I know there's pros and cons to bonding, if you will, but I equate it to you can't buy a house for cash all the time.
And can you just briefly tell us how old some of the infrastructure is in the city?
Well, anywhere from today to 75 years, depending on the areas of the city.
75 years old. Thank you. Any questions from members of the City Council? Councilman Lattisa.
Thank you, Mr. President. Dan, you're good with the budget for the year?
Yes.
Okay. Any salary increases beyond contractual or step?
No.
You'll recall, I think it was about 2 years ago, maybe a little better, we had somewhere in the vicinity of about $6 million in uncollected revenues that pretty much nobody knew about.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Correct.
And we ended up with 2,500 of our people up for tax sale because those monies, all of a sudden, it was realized, hadn't been collected. Correct? And I formed the tax sale committee with the blessing of the City Council. And we put that committee together, and we found out then that there was about $6 million in uncollected past due water sewer bills. We formed delinquency notices. We formed shutoff notices. We brought to light the entire issue. And then all of a sudden, the former administration under Scott Avedisian stopped letting the department heads and the people that were put on this committee to have any further meetings with me. Correct?
I can't speak for him.
I can speak to it.
I can speak for my relationship.
I can
speak for my relationship with yourself and the rest of the council.
So, having said that,
yes,
I've somewhat been out of the loop, which I'm very excited about the new line of communication that is going to be under the leadership of Mayor Solomon. How much of that $6 million still remains uncollected?
As of today, because I knew the question was going to come up, there's about $1.4 million.
Are you saying I'm becoming predictable?
Excuse me?
Are you saying I'm becoming predictable?
Yeah.
$1.4 million still remains.
About $1.4 million, and there's also about $200,000 roughly that's in payment arrangements.
In payment of what, please?
In payment arrangements, if you will. Who are people who have entered in.
How much was that, Dan?
About $200,000, two and a quarter.
In addition to the 1.4?
Yes.
And
I could tell you, just as a side note, since we've sent out more delinquent notices since April, it's about 175 people we have terminated service to since then, and that has dropped almost 300,000. So each day it's dropping. And I can tell you the process does work. And we're dealing with much smaller numbers at this point in time. And there were actually some accounts, a couple of larger accounts, which I won't get into for the sake of privacy, that account for a few hundred thousand of that amount.
So, in addition to that,
yes,
the administration, former administration, hired an outside law firm to do these collections, or attempt to do these collections. And I believe the commission, or fees, I should say, is probably a better word, were upwards of 20%. And I had also asked numerous follow-up questions as to what was happening with that particular law firm in those collections, and I received no answers from anyone in the former administration. So here we are today. This law firm, and I'm not going to name the law firm, we know who it is. How much have they collected in these unpaid water bills, and how much have they been paid?
I don't know that, not the answer to that. I would think the collector's office would be the proper venue, if you will, to answer that.
Okay.
And that's not being evasive. I really don't know the number.
Okay. You answered those questions. Continue to press on that. 1.6, Dan. Good job on that. Well,
thanks,
Mr. President.
Thank you. Councilwoman Travis.
Yes. Dan, I see that you have professional services went up.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that in regard to? That went up $25,000.
Engineering services. We have some reports that we have to submit to the state in terms of water supply management plan and update, and also a clean water infrastructure plan.
Same thing with hydrant maintenance.
We're doing more work.
More work.
More work, and it's more expensive, to be honest with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more questions from council members? Any questions from members of the public? Yes.
Dan, I'm sorry, Stacia Hyla, Ward 9. Dan, how much would you say that is going? We're going to need to borrow? I know you said you didn't want to bring it up, but what do you think the number would be to bring our infrastructure up to where we need to be? Please. Thank you.
To be honest with you, I'm not being evasive. Part of what the infrastructure, the clean water infrastructure plan update, if you will, we will determine that, looking at what is considered life expectancy for all the infrastructure, amortizing that amount over so many years, affordability, markets, everything at that time. Just because I could throw out a number, 50 million, 100 million, we know that's not going to happen. It's not something that has to happen overnight, but we need to start looking at that in a much more serious manner. And doesn't, even though we can have authorization, doesn't mean we have to bond it all at once, obviously. You're trying to do it where the ratepayers can reasonably afford it, but in the same token, you want to take advantage of all the opportunities that are out there. So,
thank you. Phil?
Dan, I just have a general question. With all the talk going around about the Providence Water Board being taken over by Narragansett Bay Commission, what will that do, or will that have any effect on the water situation in Warwick as far as financing or distribution or whatever?
At this point in time, it hasn't happened. So that's number one. And number two, I wouldn't even dare to speculate.
Any more questions from the public? If not, we'll move on to finance, page 18. Brian, I'll just remind everybody that you are not the finance director. The finance director resigned, and you're presenting his budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the council, before you is the proposed budget for the finance department for fiscal 19. It is being proposed at an amount of $428,658. That's a proposed decrease of $13,329, or about 3%. The bulk of that decrease is within the salaries line item due to the change in the prior finance director. Other than staffing levels are the same, there were three positions budgeted within the department last year and three positions budgeted again within the next fiscal year.
Thank you. Any questions from council members? Councilman Lattisor.
Again, Brian, I echo the council president's comments that you're filling in for the previous finance director who abruptly resigned and kind of left you holding the short straw, I guess. So I'm not going to ask you to answer the question if you're comfortable with the budget in that department, but are you aware of any salary increases beyond contractual or step increases in this department?
There is none.
There are none. Okay. That's all the questions I have.
Thank you. Are any other council members? I know there's a decrease in this budget. If not, any members of the public have any questions? Yes.
Stacia Hyler, Ward 9. Just wanted to note there was another $34,000 charge back to this department from water and sewer. So I'm guessing that's for work that this department did for those departments, $34,000. And Brian, professional services, line item 18360, that's $100,000, and contingency is $100,000. What does that cover, please? Thank you.
That is correct. The chargebacks are related again to the work that is done within the finance department for the water fund and the sewer fund. Those are chargebacks for that work. With regards to professional services, within that line item, the city funds its annual audit, its work for its actuary services for both pension and OPEB, the cost for its financial advisors, Hilltop Securities, comes out of this line item. So various professional services come out. Contingency is, again, unbudgeted, unforeseen expenses that occur throughout the fiscal year.
Thank you. Any other questions from the public? If not, we'll move on to animal shelter.
Mr. President.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, one follow-up question. Brian, with regard to the contingency, so as of May, there's an expenditure of $79,027 and an encumbrance of $5,282, somewhere in the vicinity of $84,000. So where is the other $16,000? Where does this department anticipate spending another $16,000 between May and June?
I believe, if not all, I believe it's all the expenses within this line item were the costs associated with the water damage at the annex and the costs associated with any work done with that or the costs of moving the departments to the temporary annex, so that all those costs are associated with that.
So that's all recoverable from the insurance company, correct?
Hopefully, yes.
So in your anticipation, as you understand it, there is no other expenses looming out there for the $16,000?
No, I believe that's...
Okay.
I believe that's all related to the...
And how about in professional services? We have a $2 encumbrance. I'm not quite sure what that's supposed to mean.
I'll have to look into that.
maybe it's a stamp.
Yeah.
So up until May 1st, you spent... this department has spent approximately $84,000. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of any other professional services that would occur in the next 2 months?
I would have to get back to you on that, Councilman. I'm not sure. Some of the professional services that I mentioned for the audit, for some of the actuarial work, we pay over the course of time. So some up front, some as the project goes, and some on completion. So I'm not sure if all of those are done at this time. But I will get back to you.
Okay, thank you, Brian. That was a big help. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other... questions? If not, we'll go on to animal shelter, page 28.
Good evening, Ann Corbin for the animal shelter. This year's budget for the shelter is similar to last year's. There's been no increases for commodities or services.
Are there any questions on the animal shelter? Yes, Councilman Lattisar.
Once again, this is a budget you're comfortable with, you can live with for the year?
Yes.
Okay. And no new hires or positions eliminated?
No.
And has there been any salary increases beyond contractual or step?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Any questions from members of the City Council? Any questions from members of the public? If not, we'll move on to building inspector, and that's going to be page 39. Yes, Al.
Good evening, Council President, members of the City Ward Council. Page 39. Line item 36340 service contract. There appears to be a typo of $83,000. That should read $26,000.
Al, could you repeat that, please?
Sure. Line item 36340 service contract under the proposed FY19 budget. It shows $83,000, and that should really read $26,000. The increase of $3,000 from last year would be the e-permitting, increase of 7%.
Mr. President, question?
Yes.
So does that change the total down below?
It does.
And what is the new total?
It should come to $54,100 for a grand total of $965,467.
$965,457?
$467, correct.
Mr. President, may I continue?
Yes.
So this is, again, it's a budget that you're comfortable with and you can live with?
Yes.
And this, are you working with a full complement now?
I will as of June 18th.
And that's all funded in this budget?
That's all funded in this budget.
And this full complement is going to include more or additional individuals for enforcement?
The one additional person was the implementation of a third permit tech to expedite the permitting process.
And how about the minimum housing process with all these vacant and abandons? I think every single person on this council is still being overwhelmed with vacant homes, dilapidated shacks, et cetera, et cetera. And I know it's difficult to keep up with all of these calls that come in when you had a reduced staff. This full complement of staff, is that going to allow additional enforcement? And the reason I ask that is I'm a proponent of putting out additional monies for a revenue-generating position. And enforcement in these minimum housing building code issues is certainly a huge revenue-generating position in terms of turning these properties around, getting them occupied, getting them back on the tax roll. So is your department now going to be completely up to speed to start digging into this more aggressively than when you were understaffed?
Now that we have a full complement, I have restructured the duties of the field inspectors. So not my B1, B2 commercial residential inspectors will also be performing property maintenance inspections. So that'll give us three inspectors in the field along with the coordinator.
And also for the benefit of all of my colleagues on the City Council, when we receive calls from our constituents about anything with regard to minimum housing violations, code violations, et cetera, who specifically should we be directing those calls, or who should we be calling? I know I call you. Who do you want us to call? Because I just keep calling you at home. I don't care. On a Sunday. That's when I get the call. That's when you get the call.
During business hours, Anne-Marie Marchetti is the property maintenance coordinator. If there's a building violation or a zoning violation, it would be Lucille Dean to call directly.
And in your department, are there any salary increases beyond contractual or step increases?
Yes, there are three.
There are three?
That I have requested. That's correct.
I'm sorry?
That I have requested.
Okay. Hold on one second. Okay, can you tell me what those positions are by code number?
Yes, let me just find that piece of paper. I had it all. One is the building complaint clerk.
Hold on just one second, Al. Okay, building complaint clerk.
The second would be the building compliance specialist.
Building compliance specialist.
And the property maintenance coordinator.
Property maintenance coordinator, that's three. I think you had said five.
No, three that I requested.
Three.
There is an additional one in here that I had discussions with the previous administration about the disparity of department directors' salaries. And I did not put that in my budget, but it is there now.
And which line item is that?
That would be the director building official.
The building official?
Correct.
Okay. So it's a total of four increases in your budget above contractual or step?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, Councilman McAllister. Thank you.
I see that you made the correction on the service contracts from 83 to 26. What does that entail? As last year was budgeted for 1,000, you spent $1,125, but you're asking for $26,000 this year?
That's for the service contracts, primarily is for e-permitting. Secondary to that is for copy machines, printers.
So for the e-permitting, that's a new program, so that is the cause of the increase?
Yes.
Okay, and then the other part of that was?
Currently it's $23,000. And next year it's going to increase by 7%, and the following year 7%.
Is it like software that we're purchasing?
It's the state mandated e-permitting through Viewpoint.
However, that will help, hopefully, streamline the permitting process.
This has, for the contractors and homeowners, they can apply for permits online now, and we can respond via that through online.
Okay, so this state mandated program is the reason for the increase from of $1,000 to $26,000.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other council members? Any members of the public?
Stacia Hyler, Ward 9. There was a new position created, the construction inspector for the Airbnbs, with a salary of $59,914. So I know the former mayor had this issue with B&Bs popping up in Warwick, and it looks like we created a brand new position funded at $59,914. Is this really worth the investment? I'm not sure. Do we just create positions because we don't like something, or because I have a lot of positions I could think of to add to that list. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Sal.
I believe the planning department has acquired a professional to come in and review our zoning ordinance and have a look at the Airbnb situation that we have currently in Warwick. And I think once that is addressed, that may need an additional inspector, but at this time, until we come to a conclusion on how many we have, how long, if they're short-term rentals, long-term rentals.
Yes, Mr. DePasquale.
Thank you. To clarify, yes, we have actually selected a consultant. The consultant team also has Jeffrey Tice Arcello. It's a law firm who specializes in bed and breakfast, or the proper term is short-term rentals. We will be addressing this with a new ordinance that this body will duly consider. Generally, the ordinance is in three parts. It's the regulatory control as exacted through the zoning ordinance. The second part is a licensing fee, and the licensing fee would generate the funding necessary for an additional inspector to go out and actually inspect these facilities for public safety reasons. And then another component is the digital component. So there'll be a third-party scanner for all the different sites that allow these short-term rentals. The idea is to have it a self-funding mechanism where the enforcement comes through the licensing, and the licensing assures public safety. Because in the end, it's about public safety, it's about compatibility with these communities that are dealing with these short-term rentals. We've gone out to this bid. This honorable body has authorized that contract, and are we going full steam ahead?
Thank you. Is there any other questions from members of the public? If not, we'll go to library on page 46.
Council President, Councilors, I'm Chris LaRue from the library. The budget is an increase of less than 1%, the request. There's just a few line items that have increases. There's a $1,000 increase request in office supplies. That's for postage for our homebound program. That had been supported for 2 years with a Rhode Island Foundation grant. That grant's run out, so I'm trying to have enough money in the budget to cover that. It's a very successful program. books and supplements, $5,400 to cover inflation so that we can maintain our book budget. Building maintenance, 43,331. There's a $1,000 increase. Service contracts, 340, an $800 increase. And 352, $4,775 under automated systems. That's what we pay for our internet access and Ocean State Libraries, which is our circulation system. We're charged on a per capita basis for that.
Yes, Councilman Lattice.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. So, this is a budget that you can live with as well?
Oh, yes.
And with respect to salary increases, are there any salary increases beyond the contractual increases or step increases?
No.
Last year, at last year's budget hearings, and this isn't the only department, there were several other departments and many other line items that this city council cut from the budget. And the previous administration chose to fill them anyways after we cut them. And one of those items was in your department. We had cut the salary line item, I believe it was $10,000 in the library. Was that salary cut continued?
No.
Can I finish my question? Was that salary line that we cut, was that included in the budget under the previous administration?
Are you talking about in this year's budget?
No, last year.
Last year, the cut was made to the personnel line item.
We yes. cut a salary item.
Yes.
I believe the number was $10,000 we cut from the budget. My question to you is, was that $10,000 cut put back in the budget by the previous administration?
No.
Your answer is no. Thank you. Mr. President?
My question is, was the $10,000 paid and pulled out of another line item within the department, or was that $10,000 reduction in the salary line item adhered to?
It was saved by not hiring a couple of people that had left. We waited a few months before we rehired them, and that was how the money was saved.
So the people that received the increase that the council thought was high compared to what other people had received, they still received that $10,000 increase, and the way you were able to do it is by not filling positions for a short time.
That's correct.
Does that answer your question, Councilman Lattice? Yes, Councilman.
No, it does not. So, in the personnel supplement of 2016-2017, the director's salary was $104,775. In the personnel supplement that was, or the budget that was presented to us, was somewhere in the vicinity of around $10,000 increase. So what I'm looking at is the 2016-2017 personnel supplement. The director's salary was $104,775. In last year's budget, and I'll go back into the notes from last year, 2017 to 2018, that was increased to $111,162. So I view that as an increase. Maybe my math is wrong, but my interpretation of it could be wrong, but I view it as an increase. Thank you.
And that was one of the reductions that the council...
That was one of the many reductions that we made that the previous administration filled anyways.
Thank you. Any other questions from council members? Any questions from members of the public? Yes.
Maybe just a point. I mean, we just saw another director that just got a $15,000 salary increase because he wanted to be in par with this. So I'm just feedback. I mean, if we're going to go after one position, then I don't know how it works with flatlining or, you know, making putting all the positions in par, because you can't go after one and then say, okay, for a $15,000 increase for another director's position. Thank you.
Any members of the public have any questions? Yes.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Carter. I am from the Library Board of Trustees. I represent Ward 1, and I'm here on behalf of the Board of Trustees. I'd like to make a statement, if that's
sure.
Okay? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I'm here this evening as a representative of Warwick's Public Library's Board of Trustees. We are proud of the work that Director LaRue and his team do every day to make the library an accessible, cutting-edge center of the Warwick community. The mission of the Warwick Public Library is as follows. The Warwick Public Library is the hub of community learning, where every child can be a reader, every resident can connect to the digital world, and lifelong learning enriches every life. The Warwick Public Library is your open door to learning and everything online. The administration and staff of the library take this mission very seriously, and as the annual report indicates, have made great strides over the last year. I'd like to share some of these with you this evening. In recent years, as you may know, libraries nationwide have experienced declines in their visits and items circulated. Through innovation and community engagement, the Warwick Public Library has actually increased their usage. Our most recent data shows that our visits are up 15% over last year, and our circulation is up over 11%. The library's meeting rooms and idea studio were used almost 800 times by members of the community. Over 32,000 people attended programs at the library last year. The library's technology, including computers, iPads, portable hotspots, and virtual reality equipment, has allowed residents access to the digital world in new ways that many of them could not afford on their own. Through a Rhode Island Foundation grant, the Warwick Public Library has developed a very well-received free program for homebound Warwick residents to receive books and DVDs through the mail. In addition to the Central Library on Sandy Lane, the three branches in Appanog, Norwood, and Connecticut are thriving as centers of their neighborhood communities. As you all know, the board is made up of trustees appointed by the City Council to represent our fellow citizens as stewards of the library. My colleagues and I take this volunteer position very seriously, as the welfare of the library is in our hands. We have been impressed by Director LaRue's leadership and his forward-thinking approach. Chris has continued the work of previous directors in advocating for the needs of Warwick's residents in a fiscally responsible way. He and the library staff have worked closely with the volunteer organization Friends of the Warwick Public Library. For more than 50 years, the Friends of the Library organization has provided financial support for programs and services. Most recently, the Friends have funded the summer reading program, musical programs, and renovation of the teen space. Chris and his team have also continued to seek out grant opportunities, including those from the Rhode Island Foundation and the Champlin Foundation, to fund ongoing programs and necessary work. For instance, they have obtained an $88,300 in grants this year. When including donations from the Friends, as well as endowment monies, over $137,000 in additional income has been generated for the benefit of the library and the citizens of Warwick. I hope you will join me in congratulating the library staff on their successes this year and on their ongoing commitment to the residents of the city of Warwick. Thank you.
Thank you. So, any other members of the public? Any other members of the public? Yes, Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I certainly appreciate and recognize all the work
that is being done by the library and by its staff. I asked the same question of every department head that has come before us this evening, because it's my job as finance chair to know if there were raises that were given beyond contractual or step increases. That's my responsibility. And it was asked of every single director. And all I expect is the simple answer. Not questioning anyone's or any department's success rate or their abilities or their talents or their skills. I'm asking a simple question, and I just would appreciate a simple answer. It's that simple.
I understand. I think there's a lot of people here that are here on a school-related issues too. And I know the school's asking for money. And as I said at the beginning of this meeting, I know a lot of people weren't here, but I'll make a statement before Mr. Thornton gets up, that our budget shortfall is about $14.5 million. And the maximum that we can raise in taxes with a maximum tax increase is 6.3. So when we cut but line items, it's not because we don't value employees' input or what they're doing. It's the same when I tell one of my kids at my house or my wife, we can't get a new kitchen. We don't have the money. It's not that you're not doing a good job in the kitchen, you just can't afford a new one. Or if I'm working outside on the lawn and I'd, you know, like to get a riding lawnmower, well, maybe you can't get that this year. Or a new car, or things that we all need and want. Has, you know, I think people need to understand this isn't a reflection on somebody's work performance. It's the reality of the situation that we're in. Thank you. Yes, Director.
If I could just have a minute?
Yes.
Thank you. I just want to explain briefly that my salary is based on a scale. There's six steps in the scale. This was approved with negotiations between the library board and the city council about 20 years ago. It hasn't changed except when there's pay increases, when there's percentage increases, the scales are changed, the steps are increased. So there was nothing done behind the scenes or anything. These are the steps are public information. And it's what I was shown when I accepted the job. I had a good job. I came here from a job that paid me well. I took this job because I always wanted to work here, but part of it are the benefits and the pay. The other thing is that I don't take the health insurance from the city. I have a spouse plan, so that saves you some money there too, but that's neither here nor there. What I really want you to understand is that these steps are set, and they're set for a reason. It's set so that when someone comes into the position, they're paid for their background, their experience, their knowledge. They're not paid because they know someone or because of their gender. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to explain something, and again, I want to echo what the chairman said. We don't doubt the qualifications. However, last year, the reason why I voted with this body and for the budget to reduce that one expenditure. Again, let's throw out facts. From 2015 to 2017, in the 2 years, there was a 15% increase in that salary. 15%. From 2016 to 2018, with the proposed salary for that year, was be an 18% increase. In a time where we're trying to crunch numbers, and we know that 72 teachers got layoff notices, and we're trying to negotiate with our municipals, I personally think that 15% followed by 18% pay increases for executives is a little excessive. I believe in a gradual growth. So I'm not questioning, and I understand the reasonings, but I want you to understand my reasonings that we have to be realistic here. And one of the benefits of, as you said, is coming to the city is the hours, the commitment, and the community. And that's the reward of working for the city, not just the salary. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman Ricks. Councilman Ricks.
I concur with Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Howe. This isn't a matter of punishing or anything of that nature. This is a matter of we have to live within our means. As the mayor and council president said at the outset of this, This is a very difficult budget. As Councilman Howe iterated, 72 teachers have received layoff notices. And when we're seeing double-digit increases year after year, that's an issue. And I welcome a polite and respectful debate, a respectful discussion, and certainly none of the speakers here tonight, but in the past, I have been on the receiving end of some not so polite discussions in public, and I urge people to please take a look at the full context and try to maintain respect and decorum in these chambers and outside of these chambers when discussing these issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, I have a question for Chris. I see where the Champlin Foundation gave you $78,000 for the carpeting in the studio, and it's pending $85,000 for the glass meeting room. My question is, have you done anything with the room that your employees work in that we've been talking about for the last couple of years, that they only can come out from the lobby? We're trying to find another exit way out of that. The windows don't open. There's no other way to get out. And if, God forbid, there was a shooter come in, they're strapped right in that corner. Have you checked into that?
I have, and we put locking doors. We put automatic locks on the doors so that they can lock themselves off now from the public. That was one of the options. One of the options was to do a fairly expensive renovation to get an exit door. It was $15,000. We were able to put in the automatic locks for $5,000.
But I mean, if they were to get into that room somehow, shoot their way in, there's no way for those people to escape. There's no other way out of that room. They're locked in that room. So they're actually locking themselves in that room.
Well, there's two doors. There's one on each side of the room.
Okay. All right. So are you going to check any further, or is this it?
I can look into removing the windows. It's probably going to be expensive. I mean, we might be able to do a window removal.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from the public? Yes.
I'm Stacia Hyla, Ward 9. Do we pay for armed security at the library or security detail? We do? One person? And they're armed, correct? They're not armed. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And if there are no more questions from the public, we'll move on to City Assessor, which is page 23.
Good evening, yes. Mr. President, members of the council. Neil Dupuy, Tax Assessor. So the budget that you have in front of you is about a $265,000 increase. The main reason for that is that we're due for a statistical revaluation as of December 31st. But one of the issues with that is we get reimbursed 60% of that figure by the state. So from a budgetary standpoint, we do have to pay it first, but we will get 60% of that revenue back in this same budget year.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, Neil, same questions. This is a budget that you can live with?
Yes.
And do you expect any new positions?
No, we do have to fill a vacant position, but no new positions.
So we have how many vacant positions?
One. The deputy assessor.
And has there been any salary increases outside of contractual or step increases?
No, there has not.
From last year to this year, this new proposed budget, you're saying there is none?
Correct. There was an elimination of a position.
So, okay, then let me rephrase it. Is there an increase from the 2017-2018 budget for the tax assessor to this year's budget for the tax assessor?
The overall budget for the office balances out when I prorate everybody's salary. It came within $1,000 of what was projected here. So I don't have the knowledge of what the previous assessor made.
Okay, so let me just put it on the record. 2016-2017, the salary for the tax assessor was $97,603. I understand it's all before you. 2017-2018, it was $100,531. The proposed budget, which is the question I was asking, was there any additional increases? The proposed budget for this year is $109,000. That's a $9,000 increase from what the budget was for that position last year, correct?
Correct, based on that knowledge. I didn't have the previous assessor's salary.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, Councilman McAllister.
Good evening. On the software maintenance line item, the proposed budget is $639,188. The expenses last year, the actual expenses was $364,000. What entails that increase of, it's a large increase. It was budgeted for $394,000 last year. It's $25,334,000.
That's not in my budget.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right.
That's okay.
Any other questions from council members? Any questions from the public? If not, we'll move on to the Board of Assessment Review, page 24. Yes. I would assume you're presenting on this also.
I don't see the chairman of the board here, so I'll take that role.
It's budgeted for the same?
Correct. No increase.
No increase. And those are for the members of the Board of Assessment and Review?
Correct.
The salaries.
We do need to appoint one member. It's not really the forum for that, but he moved out of town.
Okay.
And we had one replacement, but there's still one vacancy.
Right. Thank you. Any questions on Board of Assessment and Review? No? Any members of the public, any questions? No. We'll move on to Tourism and Cultural Development, page 56. See ya. Is anybody here to present on this department?
So sorry, the director is actually at the State House, and she's testifying on behalf of a bill that could actually see the city realize between $85,000 and $100,000 back to the city in restoring the hotel tax money. Mayor Solomon, as he always does, you know, found this out and says, you know what, let's send her up, show our support. And we're here to present the budget. We have some capable folks here, so
okay.
Let's give it a try.
Okay, we'll rely on Brian then to present this.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. President. Brian Sovia, City Treasurer. The proposed budget for tourism is a total amount of $765,493. That's an increase of $17,073, or 2.28%. The bulk of that coming from within tourism programs, which is seeing an increase of $16,194. In terms of staffing levels, there is no change in terms of there were four positions budgeted last year, and there are four positions again budgeted for FY19.
And just for the benefit of the public, could you talk about revenue for this department and how we have to use that revenue for this department?
Brian can speak to the actual particular numbers, but yes, you're limited to economic development and tourism outcomes, right? So we can't use the money and just spend it willy-nilly. There has to be a nexus between the derived dollar, you know, whether it's hotel tax money and tourism economic development and things alike. Again,
so
continue that nexus.
Just so everyone understands, we get a hotel and meals tax from the state, and that amount of money funds this department, and we have to use that money for that department. We can't move it. Some might ask, can we move it to schools or someplace else? And the answer is no, otherwise we lose it. So this is a unique department in that it's really generated from the hotel revenue tax, which allows us to go out and do some pretty impressive marketing for the city, both in terms of tourism and, as you mentioned, economic development.
Very well said, Mr. President.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Brian, again, the best that you can represent for this department, they can live within this budget.
As far as I'm aware, yes.
And no salary increases beyond contractual and step that you're aware of?
I'm not aware of any other than the, obviously, the two that you spoke of.
Correct.
Increment step and...
Mr. Chief of Staff, I'd like to also address this issue of revenue with the tourism department, because it was spoken to earlier and a member of the public asked about a budget item that was put forth for the Airbnbs, et cetera. This segues right into this, and this city generates a significant amount of revenue from the tourism department. And we have, to my knowledge, in excess of perhaps more than 30 illegal Airbnbs operating in the city of Warwick. To my knowledge, we only have one legal Airbnb operating in the city of Warwick. This I compare to outlaw contractors, where the licensed contractors, the registered contractors, insured contractors have to compete against the outlaw contractors. We are making our tourism department work that much harder to try and generate revenue because of revenue lost to these illegal Airbnbs, or call them whatever you'd like. So in totality, that item that we're speaking about is an investment to bring these illegals to a legal status or eliminate them altogether. And in addition to that, it was to deal with some of the zoning problems we have and a few other issues that are combined all in this particular item. Fair to say?
Absolutely. It's a fairness and equity question. When we look at a hotel tax and the meal tax, that's just tremendous revenue generator for the city. But also those folks that invest in new hotels. We have several new hotels going forward. Is it fair that people play with different rules? Every illegal short-term rental takes away from the taxes paid by the legal generating hotel. And then we want to ask a secondary question. Is that what we want to do to the community residents that usually surround these facilities? And so there is that two-part test, and I believe an illegal type of use fails on both.
Thank you.
Thank you. So any other questions from council members? Any questions from members of the public? Yes.
Stacia Heiler, Ward 9. I just want to say I couldn't agree more with Councilman Lattiser. We certainly don't want any type of illegal activity going on in our city. We certainly know that there's plenty of it, and there's a lot to crack down on. I just think the issue with this particular Airbnb, the whole issue arose because, I guess, one woman went through the process, other people didn't, but then she was given a hard time. You all heard her. She came here and she presented that to you. And we create a position to crack down on it. I hope we also invest in the same amount of financial dollars to crack down on all the other illegal activity that's going on in our city. So the meal tax, so I just calculated the hotel meal tax, the hotel tax coming into the city, and hotel tax economic development, I come up with $4,784,732. So my question, please, is how much of this, so, and then I look at the budget for tourism. Excuse me one minute here. I just had it in front of me. Oh gosh, I apologize. Did I not bring it up here? Way too much.
I think I know where you're going with the question, which is the amount expended does not match what's in the budget.
Well, so if we're getting $4,784,000, and excuse me, Bill, I didn't hear what he said. Our director is up at the State House testifying to ask for more money to come back to the city from the state.
Bill, if you could answer that question.
Yeah, and then how much of this $4,784,000 actually, does this all come back to us?
Bill, if you want to answer those two questions. One, what's Karen, Karen doing? And the second one, you know, the income is $4 million, but the budget for the department is less.
If I had any staff employee that could do anything better than being at the State House right now trying to get $85,000 to $100,000,
for what? She was just asking for what?
So the answer is there is legislation that's being considered that will actually change the revenue that would be given back to the cities and towns.
So she's advocating that
she's
get more money.
She's advocating opposition, which would give the city of Warwick a net gain of between $85,000 and $100,000.
Okay.
And she's testifying right now.
Which is great. And then the second, which has to be spent for economic development and tourism.
If we do get it back, it would go back.
And then her second question was that the amount of revenue that's generated or given to us doesn't match what we expend in the department. Yes, Brian.
So the total expenses for the department is proposed at $765,493. Revenue, the city is budgeted to receive meal tax in the amount of $2,950,000, hotel tax city at $138,000, and hotel tax economic development at $1.2 million. So about $4.7 million.
And her question is, I'm assuming the rest of the $4 million is used for advertising, or there's revenue coming in. How are we spending it? That's her question.
Well, the typical media brochures, accessing potential commercial developers, meeting and greeting those developers, actual different types of paraphernalia that we reach out to this community to try to keep.
Are those expenditures in this budget or in the other budgets?
What expenditures in particular?
So her question has to do with revenues. The revenue coming in for a $4 million and the department spending $765,000.
One thing before I continue on that, actually, I was reading the wrong line. So the where I listed the amounts of $2,950,000, $138,000, and $1.2 million, I grabbed the wrong line. It's actually the $2.9 million, the $1.2 million, and then $800,000 is the last line. So it's a little more. In terms of the expenses and where those are, I'd prefer to speak to the department director and get back to you tomorrow if I could.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bill, unless you have an answer.
No, I would rather do that. The department director does a fine job. We have all the expenditures for the last several years, and we certainly can.
Could we ask the department director to be here tomorrow then?
Certainly.
Okay. Yes.
Again, this isn't. I'm sure the director does a fine job. I think you all know how I am. I just like to know where the money, what's coming in and what's going out. This is just about how the money is being expensed, and I think that it's important that we know this and understand it. So again, you look at. I think it was $4.6 million coming in. That's what, and we always hear how, hear you say that we have to take that money and only allocate it to this department. And then I look and I see, so tourism programs, if I don't know if these gentlemen can answer this question, why is there such a jump up? So we spend $455,000 and $455,800 a year for tourism programs. And as of May, the end of May, we spent $223,000 and then projected at June, it jumps up to $439,000. What happens from May to June for it to go up?
I think those are questions better answered by the director, and they'll be here, and she'll be here tomorrow.
So thank you. I appreciate
it. Is there any other questions from the public? If not, if we could make a note to ask the tourism director to be here tomorrow, we could take her first.